to get a professional deal. And it's not only about highlights, it's about, can you be a pro?
Today on the Rising Coaches Podcast, we get the opportunity to speak with a former professional basketball player and current founder of LV Prospects, Luka Boncina. Luka is a current owner and operator of a company in Slovenia to help assist players to pursue their collegiate careers in other countries. Luka helps give us some insight on how coaches can use international agencies to their advantage while in the recruiting process. Please welcome Coach Luka Boncina. Video analysis is expensive and your budget probably isn't getting much bigger. Fulcrum Tech is here to help. Used by basketball teams at all levels from Division I all the way to high school, their Angles product is very similar to what you know and allows you to code, capture, and analyze with ease. All you have to do is import the raw video in Synergy with just the click of a mouse. Over the past 2 years, over 60% of Division I teams in conferences such as the SEC, Pac-12, American, NBC, and A-10, just to name a few, have made the postseason, all while using Fulcrum Tech and saving thousands and thousands of dollars compared to their old companies. Reach out to Fulcrum Tech on X at Fulcrum Tech or their sales@fulcrumtech.com. Just shoot them over an email and be sure to mention if you are a Rising Coaches member. Do more, spend less with Fulcrum Tech. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. We got Doug Caputo and Alan Major here. And today on the podcast, we are speaking with a former professional basketball player in Slovenia and current founder of LV Prospects, as well as Wise Up, Luka Boncina. Luka, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Of course. Good to see you, Luka.
We've heard a lot about you.
You got the espresso flowing over there. I know you do. So we're
good to go. Always.
So one of the things that we really want to touch on, and we'll just kind of jump right into it as well, as we mentioned with Wise Up and LV Prospects. So first, I guess I'm just going to say, like, definitely doing some looking at your background, what you're doing right now. You're a busy man. You got a lot going on. You're running four different companies of your own. So kudos to you. That's definitely impressive. But that being said, I mean, talk to us a little bit about just those roles, some of the things that you do and some of the things that you like incorporate to be able to help your students over there, because you're working with all students in Slovenia, correct?
Yep, exactly.
So, yeah, just give us like a briefing of kind of what you do with them.
Well, I guess it all started when I went to college to play at UNCC with Coach Major. That was the time for me when I realized I really wanted to improve things. So my mind was all set on basketball, but everything I saw otherwise, I just felt like, okay, this could be better. This should be done better. And that's basically my story. My passion are sports and education, and all my companies are based on those two things. So Wise Up is, yeah, educational technology company, which me and my wife founded. It's going international, and it's based and it focuses on high school students. So basically, we put everything, all curriculum online, which is crazy when I look back at it. The work we've done, and the second one is, yeah, I still, so for the last 10 years since I got back from the States, I wanted to help younger athletes go through the same path I went, and that's just how I found myself. How I found myself in midst of basketball coaches, teams, GMs, and athletes. So yeah, that's a little bit about what I do.
It's keeping you busy, keeping you young.
It's cool. What I love what you said, Luka, is when you first realized that things could be done better at Charlotte. See, we had a lot that we could have done better, but I love the fact that, you know, this is our first international episode that we've done in terms of, and so Rising Coaches really wants to kind of reach its footprint out and, you know, expand things internationally ourselves. Have you noticed a big difference, especially with kids coming to the States, you know, from when you first started it to now? Like, you know, how many kids ballpark would you say have been able to come over here and play?
Probably over 100. So it's different sports, yeah, but basketball players probably about 30, 35, something like that. And the main thing that I see with these kids, and that's one of the things that I really find interesting, is there's still so little that they, for example, Slovenian or European kids know about college basketball. It's crazy. They, I mean, obviously they know about top schools, top players, NBA prospects, all that. Like, social media is crazy, right? When it gets down to this. But the thing is, they're not aware of, like, the work you have to put in to get there. And I see a lot of similarities. If I jump to another thing, with maybe Americans coming play professional in Europe. So the mindset that, for example, European kids have going through college, they feel like, okay, obviously I'm a good player. Everybody's going to want to recruit me. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Yeah, okay. And I tell them, and then you have to do this, and this. And there's still no guarantees. And once you realize, okay, this is a complex process, and probably one of the most competing aspects of it is just like, yeah, there's 100,000 students that want to get that same scholarship as you.
That's right.
Then that's kind of like, maybe it shakes them a little bit.
Yeah, eye-opening.
Yeah, the ones that go through that, those are usually the ones that end up with nice scholarship at good program and stuff like that. And I mentioned similarities with professional basketball players, maybe college graduates, that everybody feel like, oh, I should be in NBA, or, okay, I'm not good enough for NBA, but I can play basketball anywhere in the world. Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of guys that have the skills and physicalities, but professionalism is something totally different. So
it's,
yeah,
a crazy thing.
Yeah, it's eye opening both ways, like, right? Like, a guy thinks he should leave college and I can just go to Europe and average 20 a game. Like, no, it doesn't work like that.
Nope. Definitely not.
You don't realize that it's so much bigger outside of where you're playing. Like, at least I'll speak for my reference growing up. You're playing in high school and you're like, you see your name in the paper a couple times, you're like, all right, I got something going on, you know. And then you actually step out of your town, your small town, and it's just like, oh, there's more people. And then you go to your reference and you go across overseas and realize there's not just the people in different states or the country, but there's people in the world trying to take your spot. So it's like, what's solidifying you from anybody else? What's changing, like, their viewpoint from you?
And that's exactly, you've put it really well. That's why I can't say how much I appreciate it and the opportunity to go to the States when I was 18, because later on everything started to make sense and fall together into something that I, well, have been working on for the last 10 years. So connecting different basketball worlds. So that's definitely like the biggest thing anybody can gain from experience like that, is just, yeah, meeting new people. For coaches, that means, I don't know, getting to know GMs in Europe or teams. It's totally different situation than in the States. And like you said, once you get out of your town, everything is different.
It's a bigger world. It's a bigger world.
One thing I'll say, Luca, before we get to the next topic, is I think the one thing that translates either direction, whether it's kids that want to come over here and play, you know, from Europe, or guys finishing college here that want to go over there, is the guys that do well have a great combination of humility and work ethic. Because I never forget when you got to Charlotte, like, if we couldn't find you, we just walked down the hallway and looked in the practice gym. You were in there. So yeah, it was like, okay, yeah, where's Luca? I just walked down the hall. Like, you hear the ball bouncing. We know where he is. So you, but in order to do that, you have to have a level of humility that says, I'm not ready yet, or I need to get better. So that translates no matter how far you have to travel on a plane, regardless of your situation. So that I know you're sharing that with the kids that you're, that are coming through your system. Mm-hmm. Also with the guys that maybe any pros you come in contact with, those are two big things. So just want to throw that in there, Doug, before we move on.
And quick reference too, like, where have you placed kids? I mean, have you placed them in like Division One, Two, Three, like all across the board?
Mainly Division One. But yeah, over the last couple of years, kids went to prep schools as well. But yeah, from high major teams, I don't know, Illinois State. This year, there's a kid from Slovenia playing at UCLA.
Oh, I saw that. I think Xavier has. I think there's a Xavier has a Slovenian kid too, right? Yeah, is he actually one of your guys?
He's one of my former teammates. Yeah. So that's when I realized I'm too old to be playing.
Right. We all had that moment.
Yep. No, but yeah, mainly Division One, all high, mid, and low majors. But with this number of players, there's definitely a few in NAIA as well. Few went to JUCO, but not that many. But yeah, D1 mostly.
And then I was just going to say, like, off of those people that are being placed, I mean, how do you, I guess, reach out to these coaches? Or, like, can the coaches reach out to you? Just trying to get, because if there's coaches who are listening, like, how can they get in touch with you? How can they get these kids, or at least get some lowdown of these kids that you potentially be sending over here?
I mean, when I started out, I had a good reference myself, because I know coaches wanted to still want to recruit kids that are hardworking and wants to win. That was the easy part. But no, later on, a lot of coaches, college coaches that want to recruit internationally usually go to the FIBA events over the summer. So that's where I met a lot of them. Also, just word of mouth. I'm not the type of person that would try to oversell somebody. If I really see an opportunity for a kid that would work in a certain program and certain level, then I just tell coach what my honest opinion is. And if somebody, I've had a lot of coaches just reach out to me because they were, I don't know, recruiting a guy from this area and ask me what I think. So just building relationships. For me, it's always just, if I'm going to be honest, then the kid's not going to go into trouble, or he's going to achieve what he's set out to achieve.
Now, that happens at times, especially, unfortunately, at times here in the States. You know, a AAU coach or a grassroots coach will say, hey, this kid's going to be the next whatever. Like, I had maybe another previous great player, so they'll sell the next guy as here's another one. And sometimes that gets a little oversold. But if you do that too many times, you're right. You know, it can hurt your reputation. So it's better to undersell the kid and then let the kid over deliver.
Exactly.
Right? So that's a great.
Never promise.
Because that travels by word of mouth too. Like, oh, this guy in Europe, man, every kid that he has, he thinks he's the next, he's next Luka Doncic. Every time he says he's got a guard, he's saying that about every kid. Like, oh, wait a minute, there's only one of those.
Fun fact, there was probably about 50 coaches calling me about Luka Doncic when he was playing in Real, and I tried to explain to everybody, he's not going to college.
That's like when he was at Real Madrid, right?
That's another thing, like, for most of American coaches, I mean, like everybody else, they just focus on that 1, 2, 3 top prospects. And when that falls, okay, what's the next step? And I really, again, I want to do my work beforehand So if I actually reach out to a coach and I tell him, okay, I feel like he's the type of person that would work on your program, then I really think that, and it's most likely going to work.
Do you have like a website or something, or a way that maybe coaches can kind of get a hold of you?
I think the easiest way is probably done on, well, Twitter, X. But we do have website. We have a few different ones. One is EBS, Elite Basketball Showcase, where we work showcases for kids in Europe and coaches in the States to recruit them. And actually, that's one of the things that I wanted to point out when I said about professional college with professional players. This summer, we're going to start doing showcases for professional teams over here. Yeah, but with this generation, we're not that focused on websites, but social media. So
yeah,
Instagram, TikTok, that's where anybody can find us.
When you wrap up, Link, when we wrap up, Luca, just text me a couple of the best links, and then we'll make sure that we post them. So when your pod comes out, we'll post those links, you know, with your pod. So then when the pod comes out, people can, you know, find a way to track you down as well.
So for you, I mean, I know you just talked about you can't just briefly say it and then completely override the fact that you work with Luka Doncic, and you know, like, I feel like you said it and then it just kind of went away. Like, yeah, that happened. You got to tell us a little more, because I know Alan was talking.
He's like the guy next door over there, man. He's just like a. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I know you had played for his dad too. I know you mentioned that.
Yeah, and the team we're on right now, so our professional team, Luca's dad is the GM of our team. I'm more of a, like, on the business side of the team. So yeah, Luca has been working out every summer with our team, and last year he's just amazing, like, amazing person. He actually had our youth team work out with him, and he was still the most competitive person in the gym. Like, you would think there's, I don't know, 15, 14, 16 years old, that everybody's going to want to beat him. But no, he's just the most competitive person there is. And that's one of the reasons, besides his talents, why he's so successful. Like, it doesn't matter if it's game of course or free throws or NBA finals, I guess. I mean, he'll eventually end up there. He's going to want to win.
No, that's hilarious, going up against a bunch of 14, 15-year-olds and just take – I mean, but you get it. I've seen videos of Jordan and Kobe when they're at their camps and stuff, and just going out here balling against these young kids. It's like, yeah, well, you got to earn that stuff. So that's hilarious. We'll say for coaches, because a lot of primarily coaches listen to this, whether it doesn't matter what level it is. How does a coach build a relationship with someone internationally? Like, obviously, there's, you know, just the same way you would build a relationship with anybody else. I mean, I'm not even speaking necessarily just you, but just in the whole spectrum of international coaches. Like, because of course, more, I should say, higher end Division 1, and probably some 2 as well, look for international kids. Like, what are some of the best ways that coaches can either reach out to international people? I know you said social media, but then, like, or just get in touch. And then even talk a little bit about the camps that you're going to be running to kind of help students get and get noticed by other people. I know you touched on it very briefly with that as well.
One of the things is, like, reaching out directly to the kids. It used to work better, because nowadays most of these kids, when they're 16, they already have some sort of agents or something, especially if they're top prospects. So that's hard. It used to be, because of the lack of knowledge on the side of the kids and about recruiting, usually, I mean, back in the days, it worked just, hey, I coach this program. I like your style, your game, and I have a scholarship. Basically, that used to be it. Now it's more of like really building a network of individuals, or it could be agencies or anything. So for different regions in Europe, like to have somebody you can rely on and somebody you can ask and know you're going to get honest opinion, because it's just so many people in this game, and unfortunately most of them trying to fulfill their own interests first. Basically that's the worst part. If everybody would be in a game to help I don't know, players, coaches first, then it'd be much nicer. But yeah, it's not like that. So I don't know. Yeah,
Luca, would you say a national team, like trying to build a relationship with either a national team or an academy coach, is a good place to start? Like finding out where their academy is, like, you know, or their national team coach, if you saw them in a national team competition.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I mean, like I mentioned before, the FIBA tournaments, that's probably the most legit you can get. So if you have a chance or can get overseas for maybe this summer events, that's best networking. I know in the States, anybody who can get out to college Final Four, best networking event as well.
Right. Exactly.
So for networking internationally, I'd suggest that, because or if you want to do a complete research and find those couple of teams or academies that actually work towards connecting people and players, yeah, then this could help. But yeah, probably the easiest ways are events or showcases like we want to run every year.
I will say too, Luca, that because everything is streamed now, like oftentimes, and this is for coaches listening that might be Division II, maybe smaller budgets, that if you can't afford to fly over, mm-hmm. a lot of these FIBA, you know, youth events are streamed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you can find ways to watch a tournament and watch multiple games in an event if you just kind of do some digging and find out, you know, what's the name of the event,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then find out where it's being streamed. So, you know, not every school can afford to send a coach, you know, overseas for, you know, sure. 5 days and watch games. So that's just something that, you know, that I've noticed more guys are doing now. They try to stream and just watch games through streaming, find out the kid's name, find out, you know, here's his national team, and then start doing their research from there.
Now, you may have an answer for this, maybe not, but I'm just kind of curious. Like for Slovenian players, right, every country has their own, I feel like, their own identity. Correct me if I'm wrong with that, but like I just mean like in terms of playing, like some countries are more aggressive, some are more perimeter based, some are more kind of paint based, you know, whatever it is. What would you say if you had to, you know, pick for Slovenia, like what would you say your guys' identity is? Maybe just to give people like an idea of the players that they're going to be getting.
Okay, I think it comes down to our whole nation, which is smaller than the city where I studied at. So Slovenia has 2 million citizens. Charlotte, where I studied, has I think about 2 million as well. So when I try to, what country I'm from, that was basically it. So we have to, or basketball players from Slovenia, they just need to, they're aggressive. They need to play smart. So because we're not most athletic guys, and this goes for the whole region of Balkan or ex Yugoslavian countries, there's one fact I learned a couple of months back. 1/3 of all international NBA players are from these small 6 countries in the southeastern Europe. So excuse me, from ex Yugoslavia. So that goes from Nikola Jokic and Luka Doncic and all these players. I think that's our identity. We may be small, size as a country, but yeah, we have
some hoopers.
Such a great base of coaches and knowledge, and just history of basketball over here that every individual can really fight for it and make it happen.
Yeah, that was funny, Luca. I was in Lithuania because I think I texted you while I was in mm-hmm. Europe back in the fall. I was working this NBA camp, and like, you know, I know soccer's religion in Europe. I get it. But Lithuania is on a different channel, man. Like in terms of like, it's basketball there, hands down. Like,
basketball.
Then football.
And then everything else.
Yeah, it was insane, man. And but very similar to what you're saying. Like, and obviously, you know, you have guys like, you know, Sabonis and Vucevic, and but yeah, just tough, smart, really fundamentally sound. Everybody can pass. That's the thing that I think there's an appreciation for European guys. If you get a European guy, not most of the time, he's going to have a great feel and he's going to know how to pass the ball. I remember just being in Ljubljana just for a little bit when we came over to try to recruit the young kid, Philip, you know. And so great town, man. I got to get back over there somehow, some way. So If you need a combine coach, you know, holler at your boy here.
I even got the opportunity to coach, and I'm kind of glad you said that, because there was a couple kids when I was at a prep school last year, and we worked with a couple kids from Slovenia, and they fit your description to a T. Now I don't know if they were your kids or not, Milos Vucevic. And then Lazar Dredjic. Those were, do you know the names at all?
I know the names. I want to say at least Lazar, I think he might be from Serbia.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. He was from Serbia. Yep, you're right. And then he got a brother now that's actually like killing it right now.
Yeah, because his brother, he was in youth team of one of the best teams in region, like I know he just made a decision to go to college. Everybody expected him to play professionally when he's gonna turn 18. He kind of surprised everybody.
Wow. Good for him. Hey, he can make money over here now too, so that's everything's changed a little bit, so that probably figured into it some. But yeah, that little example right there, that's what's amazing about this. Like, you dropped two names and it literally connected two places, two people, just like that. Like, that's why we're kind of doing what we're doing, you know, with trying to, at least from a rising coach's perspective, is expand our footprint internationally, because the game is so, there's just so much connectivity in the game. So you start dropping a handful of names and then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, I know that guy too.
And that's amazing. You do all that, because at the end of the day, I mean, doesn't matter the level. Like, if the coach will want to grow, is going to have the growth mindset, then he's going to connect with everybody in Europe, China, I don't know, anywhere in the world, because at the end of the day, it's basketball is the language. So if you like the game of a kid from anywhere in the world, like if there's coaches you can just connect with, then everything is much, much easier.
Well, Al, do you have anything, or I should say Luca, anything before we cut to the final segment? We'll have some more questions in the final segment, but before we cut to that, I mean, anybody have any final comments to wrap up?
Yeah, I would just say, Luca, just make sure you get a little bit more specific on the combine that you're going to have in June. I know you'd mentioned you're going to have it in June. We want to make sure coaches listen to this, and we'll try to double back. And when we drop it on social media, you know, usually we drop each person's pod, you know, maybe two or three different times, like two or three different segments of it. So hopefully they'll drop this segment, our producers. We'll drop this part, but yeah, just share, you know, when, where, you know, the how long, just kind of take us through that briefly.
So yeah, we're going to host pro showcase for free agents that want to play in over in Europe next season. So season starts usually in August or September. That's why we wanted to combine in June, probably second half of June. We're going to have GMs, head coaches, team owners from some really good teams over here in attendance to watch, to get a personal feel for these players. And I know, again, from my last 10, 12 years as a professional, it's not only about the opportunity to play in front of these coaches and these GMs. What I want to give to these young professionals that are trying to get the living out of it, I want to educate them, me and our team, about the differences of basketball here in Europe. Maybe officiating, what teams expect from you when you get over here, because at the end of the day, it's totally different world. So somebody from that played, I don't know, D3, if he's the right character, like teams over here, they want to see you fit the system. So they're not going to build a system around a player, but I know for a fact, so our team that plays first division in Slovenia, and we want to go to ABBA in a couple of years, we have hard time explaining players that, for example, we need a big that's only going to set great screens, roll, because this is going to open space for our
shooters
in the country.
That's right.
We don't expect everybody to average double-double, this is how teams over here look at the players. And we wanna give this to players starting out, so finishing college, trying to get a professional deal. And it's not only about highlights, it's about, can you be a pro? Can you win games? Can you adapt to system? So basically, this is what probably 10 days are going to be built around. The showcase will only last 3 days. But before that, okay, we're going to have all this education, games with local teams or some national teams during that time, so coaches can get a feel of how well they can adapt to professionalism here. So yeah, it's going to be the second part of June, Slovenia, and tens of GMs and coaches from really good teams.
It's going to be in Ljubljana, right?
Yep.
In which, for everyone listening, Ljubljana's capital city, so it's going to be right smack in the middle of everything. Beautiful place. But yeah, so it's a combine, but it's a combine of its education, its practice, skill development, and games. So it's a comprehensive deal as opposed to just the showcase. So that's a great setup, man.
Also, all the things I was saying before, if we want to bring good players over here, they still need to adapt. They need to be aware of where they're coming to, and they need to have expectations of it. So at the end of the day, it's a win-win for everybody, for teams that can actually see them play live. Because, like you said, there's a lot of college coaches that can go to Europe to recruit, and it goes the same for even professional teams over here. Not everybody, or probably not even 5% of coaches and GMs, go to Las Vegas for summer league, for example, because it's just not in their budget. So yeah, that's why we're bringing players to Europe to find them great teams.
Good stuff, man. That's awesome.
That'd be a good opportunity for sure. Yeah. It'll be, because this is your first year doing it, I should say.
Yeah.
It's only going to get better. I mean, it's because the word of mouth is a big deal. And all you need is a handful of guys to come out of it and have great experiences with the team. And then, you know, it's going to take off. So the good thing about year ones is there's never another year one. So from this point on, like, it's just going to get better.
And for me, just priding myself on like I really wanted this experience. So even though it's going to be the first time, all of the guys will have incredible experience, and we're going to do everything in our power to get them teams afterwards. So it's not just going to be, okay, come over here, that's here's your opportunity. No, we're going to work 24/7 for them to really get the most out of it.
What we'll do now, we'll cut to the final segment. And basically, I know we were kind of briefing you on it before, but it's just three quick hitters, three quick questions, just to kind of get more of an idea. They are a little bit basketball oriented, a little bit business oriented, and then a little bit just kind of like to tailor to who you are, just to kind of people to meet you. They're quick questions, and then just give some responses back, and then we'll wrap it up with the final question at the end, and we'll go from there. So the first one of the three quick hitters is just, I know we covered this already, but what are some unique ways that maybe you connect with coaches? I keep hammering that question on you, but I just feel like that's a big thing, especially international too, you know, people to be able to reach out, or just other ways, alternative ways that maybe you reach out to coaches.
Yeah. Okay. So it's always nice to hear from somebody that has his own goals set. So if somebody really wants to come to coach in Europe, for example, then I'd start with that. It's to find the right person to talk to, you got to try dozens of them. So, yeah. But like I said before, if it's a good coach at any level, everybody will want to share their knowledge and resources at the end of the day. So yeah, you just have to try it out different ways to find the like-minded people, like-minded coaches, because then everything else is just comes together. It's much easier. How to find the right coaches or right people? I mean, just thorough research, I guess, or listening to podcasts like yours. I don't think there's the right way to do it. I usually just, if I know what I want to achieve or how to achieve it, then you kind of narrow it down to a couple of person coaches or teams or something like that. So if you want to come to coach to Europe, for example, then you find the right academies or the right teams that have maybe some common grounds or common expectations. It's so many teams and so many coaches. It's hard to give one right answer.
Yeah, no, completely. And then, I mean, kind of building off of that, I guess going into like the second one is, what is a characteristic? So you work with a lot of different coaches. Like, what's one good characteristic that maybe stands out to you when these coaches come in or they're talking to you, they're recruiting one of your kids, and you're just building a relationship? Or you can even speak on your personal experience, like why you went to university where you did. Like, what's a characteristic that stood out to you when people are recruiting your players?
To me, it's always about honesty. So when I decided to go to Charlotte, I just felt that's the right place for me to be at. I didn't look at how big was the school, which conference it played at, or whatever. So I didn't go for the big name schools. I went to the place where I felt like it's going to be the best fit for me, or I'm going to be the best fit for the characteristics of coaches that that's what I tell everybody. Don't listen to anybody else, but your own mm-hmm. gut feeling.
Yep.
And for me, for example, when I talk to coaches for our team, or even just trying to help them out here in Europe, for me, And I'm really biased on that, but I want to see somebody show that they care, show that they want to do something. So it's not just, okay, now I'm a coach, everything else is going to fall into my lap. No, but if you want to do something, like, show something first. So I always want to lead by example, and I expect this from younger coaches as well. So, okay, go take that seminar that every coach has to take in order to be eligible to coach. So don't try to get the job first and then do everything else. So for me, that's kind of like be true to yourself, and you will find the right people to talk to and to give you an opportunity, even if it's the first time. I don't mind. for our youth program, we basically recruited last year five new coaches. Only one had experience coaching at that level. But I went with character of these other four, and it paid off because now kids love them. They appreciated the opportunity. I don't know. That's my style.
I couldn't agree more with that. Feel what's the right fit. And then the final one, final quick hitter we got, okay. Luca Von Cena, you run what? Coolio, you got LV Prospect, you got Wise Up, you got, and correct me if I'm wrong with this, but Rise Turi and Namaturi. Is that right? I tried to get a little tongue roll in there too. So, you run four companies, right? And you're a busy man, as we mentioned. Like, what is the best way that you sit back, relax, and then basically just like keep yourself from burning out? Because a lot of coaches can go day to day running, you know, and whether it's running your own businesses, whether it's coaching, whether it's whatever, like, how do you keep yourself from burning out?
I did manage to burn out a couple of times before.
Learn the hard way.
Not the best way to start to give you an answer. But yeah, like Alan said, I always learn from my own experiences. I mean, one of the thing is it's really not that hard to answer a phone or email somebody in the middle of the night when you're passionate about it. If you just feel everything is stressful, then yeah, you're going to burn out quickly. but yeah, and I mean, I did find myself in a lot of stressful situations over the last couple of years. One part is time management, and the other part, and to me, the most important part is having the right people around yourself. So in the companies or in private life, it can go a long way with the right people or with the right team.
For sure. They help you share the load. Like they know when to take something off your plate too.
And then the final question we always ask at the very end, just to wrap things up. If you had to narrow down to one piece, okay, one piece of advice, what is your top piece of advice for young rising coaches who are just trying to get their foot in the door, and then like, how can they accomplish that?
Well, first of all, you got to go out there. You got to go to events. Try to see yourself where you're headed, and then try to talk to people that are already there. So if you want to become an elite D1 coach, you're not going to learn that from, I don't know, some high school coach or professional coach from Europe. You're going to learn from experienced D1 elite coaches. And you got to try. Several times people are not going to answer to you, but that just means you didn't find the right person. And that's what I said earlier as well. You got to find like-minded people. So people that either went through the same experience or are just open to help and share their knowledge, because there's an incredible amount of people like that.
You got the positive outlook on all of that, and I like that. Definitely got a good head on your shoulder, just because you kind of keep, I mean, and you even said, like, just before, you've almost come to a point of burnout. You've over, like, and I feel like that happens with everybody, just because you're trying new things, you're trying to get your foot in the door, especially young guys. But like, you come to a point where you're almost burning out, and you're still keeping a positive mindset, knowing that there's light on the other side of the tunnel. So that says a lot. It definitely says a lot.
It's true. It's something that I live by. Do the right thing. Either way, it's gonna pay off. It's maybe not gonna pay off in a year, but it's on the long run, you can't lose.
Well said, my friend.
Part of winning teams. So I guess that's why teams like that recruited me as well. Always, even in my professional career, like, I won several national championships, and I guess it's kind of like just the right characters put together.
I see why Coach Mage recruited you.
And I'll be grateful for it forever.
No, likewise, man. You made us look smarter than we were, put it that way.
Well, I mean, you got any, and you or Luca, anybody before we get our closing remarks, anybody to final add some?
No, Luca, just real quick, man. What the coolest thing about this is, it's no longer Coach anymore. It's like Alan and Luca. Just, I'm so proud of you, man. Like, just the best part about coaching is when you watch players grow up. not just the businessman you become, but the man you become, the husband, the father, like all the, you're checking all the boxes, man. And just watching you grow up has been a joy. Very cool. And I'm glad we reconnected, because we were all over the place, both of our lives, for a long while there after you left Charlotte. So, you know, just thank you, man. This has been very cool, but more importantly, just proud of you, man, in so many ways.
Thanks. It really means a lot. And I'm sure, like, we're gonna get a chance to either work together or just hang out in Slovenia or other states at some point. And yeah, maybe from my side, just thanks for this opportunity and everything before. I learned a lot, and I really think I've shared a lot with younger kids as well. And the knowledge that I got from you and other coaches, like I really want to bring that attitude and mindset to Europe and internationally. That's why I've been working all of it for last 10 years.
Oh man, no, it shows, man. Like, you're just getting started. As crazy as it sounds, I mean, you're 10 years in, but you're literally just getting started. I mean, this thing is the back wheels are just leaving the runway. So I can't wait to see where it all goes from here.
That's why we got to keep networking and getting all coaches to listen to this podcast and
there we go.
And join your community, because I mean, anything any of you guys or your listeners will ever need on your part, I'm here to help. If we want to bring coaches in for clinics or anything, we just need that push.
You heard it here first. If anybody's trying to go to Slovenia to work a camp, you got your guy. Definitely reach out to him on X. You got your guy. That does it. I mean, Luca, thank you very much for everything. We definitely have learned a lot. And as Coach Mage said, you're the first international person that we've got to have on here. So it's definitely kind of hammering you with the international questions, I know, but it's been great to be able to just kind of learn from your perspective. And that does it for another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. We got Alan Major, Doug Caputo, Luca, thank you again very much. And everybody else out there, keep working, keep rising, coaches. Prepare your team for success this season with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball, the official number one selling shooting machine in basketball. If you're looking to transform and focus your team's training efforts, all you have to do is mention Rising Coaches or tell them we sent you with the Rising Coaches Podcast. For an additional $300 off, select Dr. Dish shooting machines. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.